Good morning. Good to see you today. Appreciate very much that you're here and that we have been blessed with such an opportunity to worship God, to remember our Lord's death for us and for the whole world, to be able now to, having prayed and given as He has prospered us and sung together, to open His Word and to be strengthened by the truth that God has revealed for us. We pray that you'll join us by getting your Bible. We welcome, of course, not only those who are here in the building, but also our brethren outside on Zoom. We appreciate that you're here as well. Invite each of us to give a few moments of our time today to studying this present evil age. As Brother Mike has read for us in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, there really is nothing new under the sun. There is evil in every age since it first came into the Garden of Eden thousands of years ago. There has been the presence of evil, and to a point, as we know in Genesis 6, at one time the world became so wicked in its sin that God destroyed the earth with a flood. The Word of God says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." As then, so now, the present evil age grieves the heart of God. While we may think about that in terms of us being grieved, we ought to remember it grieves God's heart when there is evil in the world that He created for very different reasons and purposes than to give a place for evil in the heart and in the lives of His creatures. We're not immune to the reality that exists. We're tempted by sin. We are drawn to sin. We have all sinned. We're thankful so much for God's mercy and grace, who has given us in the blood of Jesus Christ our redemption. Ephesians 1, 7, that was on our chart earlier. God has been gracious to provide a remedy for our sin, a Savior. God has been patient with us, long-suffering, and has not immediately imposed His punishment upon us, but given us opportunity to repent. God has set before us an eternal hope that secures our souls when the present evil age around us is floundering and faltering and failing in sin. We cannot but give honor and praise to God, for were it not for Him, we too would be under the eternal punishment of sin, which is death. But you see, I'm reminded of Judges chapter 2 as we think about this. You know, the generation that came out of Egyptian bondage died in the wilderness for their disobedience, their lack of faith and disobedience to God. In Judges, as another generation arose and they conquered the land and began to divide it as God had given it to them, and they gained possession of it, we read in Judges the second chapter, with the death of Joshua and all that generation that had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them that who did not know the Lord nor the work that He had done for Israel. Just one generation passed, and they grew up not knowing the Lord, not knowing His works. And so the children of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. The children of Israel, the people of God, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. Shall we, like them, forsake the God of who has given us redemption, who has delivered us out of the land of sin, to follow other gods? To follow the present evil age? We are not immune. The New Testament warns us of these realities, of these potentials. We live in the midst of Romans 1, today. Romans 1, as it describes the Gentile world's religious chaos and moral corruption. Romans 2, as it draws in the Jewish hypocrisy and sin as well. So that all have sinned, chapter 3. And the only remedy would be through God's grace, providing an appeasement of His wrath through the death of His Son. So that we would respond in faith like Abraham, Romans 4. So that we can be justified by faith, Romans 5. When we are baptized into the death of Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6. You see, Jesus delivers us from this present evil age. He died, He gave Himself for us, Galatians 1:4 says. He gave Himself for us that He might deliver us from this present evil age. The present evil age is a word different from love not the world. 1 John 2:15, the cosmos, the system of evil that's around us, that's made up of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. The word age here, sometimes it's translated world. We need to consult the interlinear or the dictionary to find out the difference sometimes. Because sometimes age, as used here in Galatians 1:4, is world. Jesus, He delivers from us from the present evil age, the age that we now live in, the moment of time in which we now inhabit life here on earth. We inhabit the earth. That's what that verse says. He delivers us from the evil of the moment, the evil of this age. So what are we supposed to do? Are we not then, like God led Israel out of the bondage of Egypt and through Jesus delivers us from the present evil age, ought we not then to help lead others out of the present evil age rather than into it? You see, Satan wants us to be comfortable in this present evil age. God, through Christ and His gospel, calls us to a very different attitude in life. So let's talk about that for a little while that we have this morning. We must fight against the darkness of this present evil age. Scripture says that in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. The Word of God says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but... Now, he's going to say we wrestle against something. He said we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. There's our term. We are in a battle, in a wrestling match with spiritual forces of darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's a spiritual battle that we either give our bodies to serve righteousness, or we give our bodies to serve sin. But we are in a battle, and we must fight against the darkness of the present evil age. How do we do that? Well, we have to arm ourselves with truth. God's truth. That text talks about the armor of God, but verse 17 says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to fight using God's Word, because it's going to be God's Word, not my feelings and not your feelings, that defeats evil. We've got to be so committed to that concept. It's not how I feel about something, and it's not my opinion about something that's going to overcome the evil through Christ of this present evil age. It's going to be through Christ's Word. Look please at Jeremiah 4 and verse 22. It sounds a lot like what Hosea wrote earlier. He said, for my people are foolish, they have not known me. This is God talking. My people have not known me. They are silly children. They have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. Now, it's not our intent this morning to sit here and just point a finger at the present evil age and say, oh, look how bad they are. And sit in our righteous seat, self-righteous seat, as we do it. God gives us very careful warning in the Old Testament and in the New that we will be destroyed if we don't have a knowledge of the truth of God in our heart and in our lives. In the days of Jeremiah, the people of God were foolish. God said, you're foolish. Now imagine that. A God who says, you're a fool. Oh. Boy. Talk about the backlash today. Preacher, don't say that. Don't identify foolishness. Well, God did. But see, that's the problem. We take offense when we say the Word of God because we think it's just coming from a man. Because we don't respect it as being the Word of God. When we don't respect truth as being from God, as our world does not, as the present evil age certainly does not, then you see, we rise up in offensiveness. We get hurt rather than hearing what God's Word says. Coddle my feelings, preacher, brother, sister. Well, now, we don't want to abuse anybody's feelings. Let me say that right now. Hear me clearly. Kindness doesn't do that. But kindness is also as clear as it can possibly be with the Word of God in trying to help protect us against sin and save us if we've been overtaken in sin. And it is not unkind. That is the compassionate thing to do. The present evil age says that's not compassion. That's not kindness. And you see how insidious that becomes? It silences Christians from fighting against the darkness of error. The darkness of this present evil age. Look, 2 Corinthians 10. So we want to be kind and courteous, but we also want to speak the truth. God's truth. Not my opinion, not my feeling. Let's go to truth. More on that in a little bit. I'm going to take too much time here if I don't move on just a little bit. I hope you understand it's not my interest to be unkind to anybody because I don't want people to be unkind to me, but I do want to hear truth from God's Word. Truth from God's Word. Thank you, brother. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Look at that verse with me. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God, mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What do we need to do to arm ourselves? We have to inform ourselves about our enemy, and we have to involve ourselves in engaging the enemy. By using God's Word, we need to equip ourselves with God's truth to pull down the strongholds of false arguments, high things that exalt themselves. Parents with children in school or about to be in school, I'm talking to you. God's talking to you. Your children have to face the darkness of this present evil age every day in school. In the concepts being taught. In the science class. In the English classes. In every class. Concepts that are very, very foreign to the Word of God. Inform yourself. Involve yourself. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You, as a parent, have a tremendous responsibility and opportunity to help protect the next generation, your children and others, by yourself living in the light and showing the light of truth to expose the errors and sin of the evil one. Now, Time fails us to read all the verses this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5, Ephesians 5. Both of these passages talk about us walking as children of light and not being deceived by the error of darkness. We have to move on to another point. In this present evil age, we must not become conformed to it. We must not be conformed to it. In Romans 12, chapter verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or spiritual service. It is the rational, reasonable thing for us to serve God because He of His great mercies toward us. And be not conformed to this world. Here's our word, age. Galatians 1, 4. We told you sometimes it's translated world. It is here. He says, don't be conformed to this age, to this moment of evil around us. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, if allowed, the forces of this age will infiltrate our minds and blind us to the gospel. Blind us. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. He says, if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden in those who perish, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Satan blinds hearts. We are not to be conformed to this age. That word conformed, it's a verb. Don't be conformed. It's present passive imperative. Now, you know, passive means you're being acted upon, right? But he says, don't be acted upon by this age. If I understand it correctly, he's saying, stop being fashioned by the world. Stop letting the world fashion and mold you in the way you think, in the values you have, in the choices you make. Don't let its influence shape you. You transform your mind to do the will of God. You see, the time past is enough for us to have walked in the way of the Gentiles, the lost, the world. Put away the past. Evil company corrupts good habits, we're told. 1 Corinthians 15:33. So we've got to stop that. We've got to see the difference. We've got to see what company with the present evil age does and turn from it. Not say, oh, it's not going to affect me. Not say, no, it'll have no impact on me. Remember Romans 12, 2 says, stop letting the world shape you. Are we going to stand here and say, God, the world's not going to shape me? What do you mean, stop letting it shape me? I'm stronger than that. I'm not going to let the world shape me. That's foolish. And it's not faithful. It's not faith in God. When God says, stop letting it do it, and you say, and I say, well, God, it's not going to do that to me. It's also arrogant, isn't it? Self-righteous, isn't it? He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. If we want to fight against the present evil age, we've got to wake up and realize the force it has, the power it has, and not let it work on us. That's why we said fight. We've got to fight to not be conformed to it. And thirdly, well, that's another application of the same point. If we care for this age, it's going to choke out God's Word. The parable of the seed and the sower, the thorns. You know, that's cares of this present age. Same word. But the third point here is we must not be deceived by the wisdom of this present age. We'll spend the rest of our time on this. Already I know I don't have as much time as I like. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says something about wisdom. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer? of this age, there's our phrase, the debater of this age, has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? God makes foolishness the wisdom of this present age. Chapter 2 and verse 6, he says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age. The spiritually mature do not listen to the wisdom of this age. What's being spoken in that context is the inspired Word of God. He's talking about the gospel that's being preached. And so we speak God's Word, or the wisdom of God, in a mystery, verse 7. He's talking about the gospel being revealed. That's wisdom. But the wisdom of this age says reject that. Keith was just telling me this morning, but Debbie had read in somebody in Seattle saying, I'm a progressive Christian. I don't need the Bible. Yeah, people progress themselves right out of faith when they lay aside the wisdom of God. But you see, chapter 3 and verse 18, let no one deceive you. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, in this present moment, if there's somebody that seems to be wise, let him become a fool and he may become wise. True wisdom is when we realize that we're not the receptacle and container of wisdom. God is. And we become a fool for God's sake. Chapter 4 and verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake. He said, oh, but you are wise. Corinthians needed to flip that and realize how foolish they were, considering themselves wise. And that's really what the present age is all about. You see, the present age considers itself wise. And so it begins to redefine and has redefined many things. The present age redefines God. In Romans, the first chapter, verses 22 and 23, remember, even in that day, in that present evil age of the first century, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There's that the idea. And changing the glory of the incorruptible God into an image of the likeness of corruptible man. Birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. Men became idolaters. People still worship their own idols rather than the living God because they are wise in themselves. The world redefines God. It does it by saying there is no God. Man must save himself. Humanism. The humanism of the past 150 years has taken such root in our society, educationally, philosophically, environmentally. The idea is we don't need God. Now, how's that working out? How's that been working out for us as a society? But how's that working out for us in the church? I said we weren't going to just sit here and point a finger. How's it working out for us when we don't give time to God? When we don't recognize God? When we don't think about God except an hour or two a week? And then it better set into my time frame and my context, or it's just not good for me. Remember, don't be conformed to this age. Don't let it work on the way you think. It redefines God. It redefines truth. You see, truth is relative. There is no absolute truth now. We are living in the postmodern age. That is, we've progressed beyond the idea of thinking there's a standard of one standard of absolute truth. Well, look at Romans 1, 24 and 25. God explained this long ago. There's nothing new under the sun. They gave themselves up to uncleanness, he said. And then in verse 25, who exchanging the truth of God for the lie, worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This present evil age redefines truth. It's relative. It's up to you. It's your situation. It's your circumstance. No, sir. God's Word is truth. Truth is incorruptible. The Word of God that lives and abides forever. But the world redefines gender. Look at the verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for that which is against nature. They redefined gender in the present age, evil age of the first century, and they do so now. Trying to tell us a biological male is not a male, and a biological female is not a biological female. That your gender is dependent on how you feel about yourself, who you really are inside. And they call that truth. They call that science. But you see, they've redefined gender roles. You see, and maybe I should have had this reversed, but in the text we follow it in verse 27. Once you redefine the roles of gender, then it's not hard to just redefine gender. See that? Verse 27, likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. The world redefines gender roles. The husband is not the head of the wife. The wife is not to be obedient to her husband. Why? That's slavery. That's bondage. That's empowerment of men over and oppression of women. They totally misunderstand, don't they? Blinded eyes, blinded minds. There are roles for men and women. God arranged it that way for the perpetuation of the race and the order of society and the structure of the home, and indeed for the blessing that's even found in His church. Because He uses that to illustrate our relationship to Jesus. You know, when we misdefine gender roles, it won't be long that we don't respect Jesus as our head. Head of the church. And we won't respect obeying Him in all things, being in submission to Him in all things like the wife is to be to the husband. Don't let the present evil world influence you, conform you, their thinking to your thing, or your thinking to theirs. You see how it infiltrates? It gets into the church. And so we want to redefine the role of women in the church, in the home. We want to rearrange how God has arranged things. Because after all, it's our church. No, it's His church, isn't it? It's His church. Well, bear with me. I want to talk to you a minute about the present evil age honoring science as truth. Think about this for a minute. We hear a lot about science these days. We've heard a lot about science all my life and all your life and before our lives. Science is going to be the truth that's going to set us free. Well, you know, there's a lot of good things about science. Science has helped us in a lot of ways because science is about man's knowledge. And we've increased in knowledge about the earth, about our bodies, about the forces around us, about the sun, moon, and stars. We've had technological advances that are just amazing and continue to make. Science has brought a lot of good things into the world. At the same time, we need to understand science is limited and fallible because it is about man's knowledge. Think about that with me. 1 Timothy 6, 20 and 21. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. What happens when science conflicts with faith? Well, for a lot of people, they throw away faith. They say, how can science be wrong? Well, I can tell you how it can be wrong. If science is never wrong, we'd still be teaching that the earth is flat. If science is never wrong, we'd be teaching that everything revolves around the earth. If science is right... I think I misspoke there. If science is never wrong, we'd still be bleeding people thinking that that would help them be healthy like they did in the 18th century. Now, we've made a lot of advances. But here's what's happening. We need to see what's happening around us in this present evil age. The present evil age has elevated science to truth and become a secular, it has become secularism's dogma. Let me illustrate. Evolution versus creation. The theory that life came from nothing and over billions of years evolved to where you and I are right now. That's called science. And if you fight against that, you're a fool. But the Word of God says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So do we always want science? No, not when it talks about the origin of life, do we? What about climate change? That's a big topic. We're going to hear a lot more of that in the coming days and years, as we've been hearing. Man wants to establish a utopia on Earth. Let's just be blunt about it. Man thinks that the Earth, that he's going to be able to shape the Earth into a utopia. And he doesn't think about God and all that. There's no God. We got to save ourselves. That's humanism. See? Redefine God. Redefine the Earth. And so we come to this issue of, used to be global warming, but now it's climate change. Bless your little heart, climate has always changed. Now, Ecclesiastes 1 teaches that, verses 3 through 7. God made the cycles of weather on this earth to cleanse our water, to give us drinkable water and life-sustaining food. Genesis 8th chapter and 22, the Word of God says, now remember, Word of God, truth, the world wants to redefine truth, not the Word of God, no, no, no. What we say it is, when we say it is, only under certain circumstances you say that we say. But the Word of God says, while the earth remains, by this is when God put the rainbow in the sky. He said, while the earth remains, what? While the earth remains? Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Someone tells you we have 12 years to live on this earth and then it's just all going to be a dystopian landscape. They're lying to you. They've got an agenda. Could be a political agenda. It could be a personal agenda. It could be any number of agendas. But I tell you what, they don't have the Word of God as the agenda, because God says seasons are going to continue until God brings His earth to an end. Now, does that mean we just be careless? Let's just be careless. No, not at all. We are the stewards of the blessings God has given us. He has put us over the creation of His hand, Psalm 8. We're to be careful, not careless, but we're to live by faith, not fear. Faith in God's Word. God is the one who assures us. Look at Psalm 104. Go home maybe today and read all of that Psalm, but I just want to show you a couple of verses there. Verse 5 of Psalm 104 says, "You have laid the foundations of the earth, so it shall not be moved forever." Man's not going to move the foundations of the earth. God will. He established it. He goes on to talk about the earth in a variety of ways there as bringing blessings. But he comes down to verse 30 and following. It says, "You send forth your spirit, they are created. You renew the face of the earth." You renew the face of it. Do we believe it? Do we believe God cares for the earth? May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. God, not man. God, not man. Earth responds to God's purposes. We need to take care of it. We need to do our part to be responsible stewards. But we're not going to live in fear that man is going to somehow be the one who rules over the earth. God rules. God rules it. And we need to acknowledge Him in it. So, God's truth prevails. Heaven and earth will pass away when God says it's time for it to. But Christ's Word endures forever. The Word of God endures forever. We must conclude this. What shall the righteous do when the foundations are destroyed? Psalm 11. Let's just read that verse and I'll throw the rest up here. You can look at Romans, the 13th chapter in your own time and see that that is a verse that calls us to action as well. But look at Psalm 11 and we'll close our study this morning. Psalm 11 verses 3 through 7 says, find it here with you. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who hates violence, His soul hates. Upon the wicked He will rain coals, fire and brimstone and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance upholds the upright or beholds the upright. Well, when the foundations are destroyed, present evil age is doing its best to do that. We've got to remember the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord hasn't moved. The Lord is reigning. He is sovereign and He sees and He will bring His reward. He will bring recompense to evil and He will bring reward to the righteous because He loves the righteous, loves righteousness. He sees the upright and He will bless. So brethren, let's recognize we live in a present evil age as those people of God of faith have always done. But let us fight against the evil of the moment. Let us not be conformed to it, not allow it to shape us, but instead, rather than being deceived, with eyes open, committed to the God of truth, let us order our lives in a way that will bring glory to God. And remember, this world's not our home. This present evil age cannot define us because our citizenship is in heaven. It'll only define us if we let it define us. Let God define us. Let His Word direct us. If you're subject to His call to be saved, we hope you'll do that right now. In faith, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or if you're a Christian and you need to repent of sin, I urge you to respond to God's call. While we stand and sing, won't you please come?